Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, good partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and White Mountain Radio, and of course on Twitter, at Sports360AZ.com. Busy show today. Lee Steinberg is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, noted sports attorney, longtime friend of the show. We'll talk with Lee in Los Angeles. He's been doing the national circuit on CNN and other channels on Donald Sterling. And also some NFL talk with Lee on contract negotiations. A.J. McCarron is sounding off about how he's not happy with things. And I want to talk with Lee about the strategy of quarterbacks, what the Cleveland Browns are doing with Johnny Manziel, making him off limits, and all that with Lee Steinberg, one of the noted sports attorneys in the business. Lee will join us at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to having Kyle Allen in studio. So Eric has a relationship, close relationship. Is that fair to say, E? I don't want to overstep my boundaries here, but
you and Kyle Allen are close. I've been a family friend for many years of the Allens. So
you know, Kyle Allen is the replacement or one of the two replacements for Johnny Manziel down at Texas A&M. It so happens that Kyle Allen lives here in Phoenix. So happens that Kyle Allen actually should still be finishing up his senior biology class over at Desert Mountain High School, but he left high school early from Desert Mountain in Scottsdale to head down to spring football at Texas A&M. So he's already done with his first semester. Is that
he's all done, and it's not as uncommon as it sounds now.
No, Brett Hundley did the same thing.
Exactly. If you are a big time college athlete, yeah. No problem graduating high school early and getting out there and getting your feet wet and learning the system and things like that.
And so you went over to his house yesterday, and did they like wine and dine you and try to make you do a nice puff piece on
it? No. It was just
a family friend.
Set up the equipment. We sat out in his backyard, chatted for about 10 minutes, and had a good conversation.
So, like 5 years from now, when he's drafted in the NFL, you're going to be able to tell your kids all
that. That's no pressure.
When he's a first round overall pick, you're going to tell
all your kids that. We'll see. Yeah. I hope that the stage isn't too big for him. If he is the starting quarterback, I
hate to tell you this, the stage is entirely too big for anybody who walks in as the replacement for Johnny Manziel,
right?
And I'm not going to put the hammer down on what's Kyle 18
17 or 18.
You know, he's going to come sitting here in studio, and he had a very good spring ball.
He acts like he's 38, but he's really 17 or 18.
Okay, now you are putting the pressure on him. If he acts like he's 38, I'm just going to expect a different type of interview.
Funny, I was talking to some people about how we acted when we were 17 and 18, and it wasn't anything like Kyle Allen handles himself.
I still act like I'm 17 or 18 on occasion.
Like I said.
Yeah, I know. I wish I were 38, though. Kyle Allen will be here in studio. Look forward to that. Quite a bit going on today. A lot of college football that's on my mind. The Steve Kerr story, of course, is where everybody's talking about. I watched the NBA Draft Combine this morning. Yeah, I'm one of those guys who watches the NBA Draft Combine, not the NFL Draft Combine. And I've got some thoughts on Jahi Carson and some other things as well. Let's get you caught up on what is on my mind in the world of sports. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. I'm telling you, the Honda Resort and Casino this time of year, here we are coming into another great weekend. You don't have plans, head on up to Pine Top, head on up to Sholo. Why not get out of the heat that's coming? About 25 degrees cooler. Not only that, great place to stay, pull down the slots, eat some great food, have some fun. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. Well, I do think that that starting with Steve Kerr is the place to go today and some basketball stuff. Steve Kerr chose the Golden State Warriors yesterday afternoon. And Steve Kerr, very popular here in the state of Arizona, very popular at the U of A. Of course, he was part of the Phoenix Suns in their front office. Here is Kevin Harlan, who was with us yesterday, voice of basketball for TNT. He, of course, was watching the Steve Kerr story very closely, working with Kerr. This was Kevin Harlan with me yesterday on whether Kerr would make the choice of Golden State or the Knicks.
You know, I'm not sure how close Steve is to Phil Jackson. Steve tells me they're close. How much will that override taking over a sinking ship as opposed to going to Golden State and taking over a young, vibrant group with shooters just like Steve was that he knows he can win with right off the bat? and be on the West Coast where he grew up near his daughter who goes to school at Cal.
Right.
They're West Coast people. They live in San Diego.
So he does make the move, and we've been saying this for the last week or so. Eric and I have been talking about this, that Golden State by far made more sense than going and working for a crazy nut owner in New York City. Let's be honest, Mike D'Antoni and Larry Brown didn't have good runs with the New York Knicks and James Dolan. The headlines today in New York, whenever New York gets snubbed, it's funny. It's just funny. It's like, how dare this happen? The headline today in the Daily News was Kerr Plunk. There was Shocker, S-H-O-C.
Great headlines.
K-E-R-R.
Great headlines.
Oh, I know. Hey, we like having a little bit of an edge here on Sports 360 AZ.
Yeah, we need some of their headline writers, though, because they always hit home runs.
Oh, I love that stuff. Here's Mark Stein from ESPN, one of the best in the business, on why it was the Knicks lost and where do they go from here.
Brian Shaw is another Phil protege, but Brian Shaw just finished his first season in Denver. He's not available. So you're going to hear Derek Fisher's name because that's another guy who's part of Phil's circle. And you know, Derek Fisher has basically said this will be his last season as a player. Now, the thinking on Derek is that he'd probably prefer to be a front office guy.
Here's the thing, though, on Steve Kerr, okay? While everybody wants to say Steve Kerr is the greatest ever, he is great to deal with. He's one of the best ever to deal with. And he's very smart in analyzing a basketball game. He had a front row seat for March Madness. He had a front row seat for the NBA playoffs, the NBA Finals. Why would he want to get into coaching? Well, let's look and see how Steve Kerr did as a general manager. He had never been a general manager before. I remember the night clearly. I'm in San Antonio. Suns are playing the Spurs. And Steve Kerr just shows up. I'm out at a dinner with Robert Sarver and some of the Suns ownership group, some of the other media. And Steve Kerr is just there hanging out with us. And before you know it, Steve Kerr is on board. And before you know it, Mike D'Antoni decides to leave over philosophical reasons. Steve Kerr is the guy that hired Terry Porter. Do we forget about Terry Porter? There's a name from the past. Complete swing and a miss. Shaquille O'Neal came here under Steve Kerr's watch. Now, how much of that was pressure from Robert Sarver? It certainly wasn't something that Mike D'Antoni wanted. Steve Kerr decided to quit and walk away from the Suns. When he left, the Amari contract was in flux with the Suns. The Suns made the right decision, the owner saying, I am not giving Amari a long-term extension, and the Suns escaped what would have been a travesty. Did Steve want to see Amari get a long-term extension here? The answer I've been told on that is yes, but it was more of a principle that Kerr walked away from the Suns because front office executives were not being taken care of under Sarver like Kerr thought they should be. You put all that together, and on the upside for Steve Kerr, he traded Boris Diaw and Raja Bell for Jason Richardson and Jared Dudley. That's a pretty good trade for the Suns. He drafted Robin Lopez, who was a miss initially. Lopez now playing pretty well in Portland. He also drafted Goran Dragic. That obviously has been a home run. My point on this rant is, while it's pretty easy to say, oh my gosh, look at what the Golden State Warriors have done in landing Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr as a general manager was hit and miss. Steve Kerr has never been a head coach. I have no idea how he's going to handle a veteran player who's brought in, who isn't seeing his minutes. I have no idea how he's going to handle Steph Curry when it gets towards the end of his contract. I know Steve loves Steph Curry coming out of the draft. But when you don't have the experience, and there are guys that can come in and do it. Scott Brooks, of course, at Oklahoma City. He's come in and he's been able to do a nice job. I think he may get his ticket punched. There are Doc Rivers, obviously, being given an opportunity. Brian Shaw being given an opportunity. So it can happen, but it's not the slam dunk that everybody is making this out to be. I think it's a good hire for Golden State. I don't think it's the greatest hire for Golden State. And I'm going to be one of those reserves judgment. It's not saying I don't like Steve Kerr. I really like him personally. But I think anybody who says, oh my gosh, what a great hire. No, he made the smart move. He made the smart decision. The Lakers are in my radar today because of all of this, too. Does Derek Fisher or Kevin Ollie or Kurt Rambis become the next coach over the Lakers? And the Suns are back in Chicago at the NBA Draft Combine. That's fine. But any move that's made in the Western Conference, I want to see what takes place. So Eric, in the curve stage, am I right on the same page as you?
Or you're right on. Oh, you're right on. And one of the things that I thought about, Brad, through all this is the Knicks have been waiting in the wings for the last few weeks. You have to think that Steve Kerr and all the insight that he has from people around the league. About 3 weeks ago, I'm sure a little bird said, you know what, if you're not really sold on New York, you may just want to hang out for a little while, because there's probably going to be a couple other jobs that may be a little bit more appealing. And then as soon as the Golden State job ended, Mark Jackson got fired, Kerr got linked to the Warriors, and boom, he's the Warriors coach. Because he could have taken the Knicks job. I mean, the Knicks job was there. It's just waiting. You know, they couldn't seal the deal, and now it does make a lot more sense for Kerr to stay on the West Coast.
But I think as you and I saw this go, and now that Steve is there, I look at the Suns and Robert Sarver's move of landing Jeff Hornacek last year. Imagine if he didn't go after Hornacek with Utah being open right now. People forget about Utah, right?
Sure. Yep.
And so Robert, again, I'm giving Robert a lot of credit. And you know I've sat behind this microphone and ripped him from top to bottom. But he's made some very good moves here recently. Some very smart moves bunch of bad moves.
And he's trusted Ryan McDonough, which was another bold move, because Ryan McDonough, for as successful as he was in Boston, he had never been a GM before. But McDonough was the one that made the big push for Hornacek.
Well, and I'll tell you, you bring up McDonough. The draft combine, watching it this morning in Chicago with all these point guards that are going to be taken early on in the draft, it's very deep. I'm going to talk about that on the other side, and also Jahi Carson. There's quite a bit of college football today that's on my radar. This Texas A&M renaming the field the house that Johnny built. You heard about this one?
So stupid.
So Kyle Field, the house that Johnny built. Of course there's somebody that wants to throw that out there. And guess what? It's a member of the Board of Regents. Of course it is. Here's somebody that wants to capitalize on Johnny football. BYU gets a major blow today to their football program. If you're a BYU fan, there's a lot of you here in the state of Arizona that like BYU. So it's not a good day if you're a BYU football fan. I'll get into that. Some stuff on the college football scene and some baseball that's on my mind as well. Lee Steinberg in about 15 minutes. Kyle Allen in studio. Is he the heir apparent to Johnny Football, Valley resident? Kyle Allen will join us as the show moves on as well. Brad Susmat, Sports 360, AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Susmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
If you're looking for that summer home, it is Bison Realty. Bison Realty, Sholo, Pine Top, Heber, Overgard, Springerville, Holbrook. Those of you in the Valley looking for a home, those of you looking to sell in the Sholo, Pine Top, Heber, Overgard, Springerville, and Holbrook area, licensed by the state of Arizona. Realtor there, call 928-242-6890, 928-242-6890. Bison Realty, Bison Ranch, Bison Realty, and Bison Ranch. Lee Steinberg in about 10 minutes. So the college football scene today is very busy. Larry Scott just finished a press conference in San Francisco where the Pac-12 conference announced that their title game will be played at Levi Stadium. That is the new field in San Francisco where the 49ers are going to play. On one hand, it seems to me to be very smart to put it in a big metropolitan city like San Francisco. Who wouldn't want to go to San Francisco? On the other side of the street, this is a game that people only have a week's notice to plan for. They still have to throw a bowl game into the equation. Can you really afford to play in a city like San Francisco? Like to see him pour some money into Las Vegas, build a stadium, make it like the Pac-12 basketball tournament. I think Vegas is a better destination. But nonetheless, if you're an ASU fan, I think this has to do a little bit, or U of A fan. For U of A fan, just even get close to playing in the Pac-12 title football game would be something of irony. It just hasn't happened before. It's happened a lot in basketball. I think if you're an ASU fan, Larry Scott last year walks into Sun Devil Stadium, which is old, decrepit, not set up at all to be anything sponsor-friendly. ASU people will get all mad at me, but I'm just telling you the truth. The place is a dump, and it's nice that it's being refurbished. It should be torn all the way down to the ground and built back up. It's just a fact. So to go to San Francisco, I don't see this lasting. It's a three-year deal. I don't see this lasting long-term in the changing landscape of college football. BYU today is on my radar. BYU, earlier this week, the ACC announced that they're going to continue playing eight conference games, okay? And this has become a big point of contention, whether it's Pac-12, whether it's SEC. Pac-12 plays nine. SEC says we're going to play eight. ACC says we're going to go with four non-conference games. One of those four now must be played against the so-called Power Five opponent. Power Five meaning conferences within the Power Five opponents are the Power Five conferences. You talk about the ACC, you talk about the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC, the ACC. So BYU is left out. There are a lot of BYU football fans that check out this show. There's a lot of BYU content here in the state of Arizona. Let's be honest. And the facts of the matter is BYU, I'm glad Arizona State has scheduled them for the next couple of years, but BYU could knock off a lot of schools within those conferences. And this to me is, it's kind of like when Notre Dame was playing as an independent and it was that big of a deal. And BYU wants to be on the same playing field as Notre Dame. They're not, but they're close, I would say.
You should ask the University of Texas what they think of BYU after
crushed them.
They ran up and down the Longhorns' throat last year in Provo.
Well, they swept Georgia Tech in a home and home, okay? They beat Washington State in 2012. They beat Ole Miss in 2011. The facts are that BYU should be right alongside. They beat Oregon. They beat Oklahoma. They beat UCLA. They've played and knocked off most every team that's out there. But today is not a good day. If you're a BYU football fan and thinking that in the power programs that you're not going to be among them, BYU has a higher all-time winning percentage than 33 of the Power Five programs. More than half, 65 total. That's more than half of the Power Five programs. That includes Louisville, who's been some big bowl games.
Yep.
Duke, Virginia. BYU on average draws 61,000 fans a game. That's more than 39 Power 5 programs. That's more than they draw at Miami. It's more than they draw at Louisville. It's more than they draw at Virginia. It's more than they draw at Syracuse. It's more than Wake Forest. More than Boston College. So ESPN has a BYU contract.
They do.
And it is the flagship school for the LDS Church and gives them a national following. Is there something towards the LDS Church from the NCAA? I would hate to think it would go that far, but it's a very fair question to ask today. If you're telling the ACC, well, look, you have to schedule tough schools from these power conferences, but you can't play BYU. BYU doesn't count. So in essence, whenever a kid goes out and is being recruited, BYU's out of the equation now if they want to play in the national title game.
And BYU left. One of the reasons why they became an independent was to get more exposure. The Mountain West did not appear much, if at all, on ESPN. And now every Thursday or Friday night or every other Thursday or Friday night, you're going to see BYU on one of the ESPN networks. But now they're kind of back at square one when you really think of it. You know, no one wants to be deemed a mid-major.
Right.
But BYU, in essence, now again is...
That's what they are.
A mid-major. Exactly.
That's what they are. Nick Saban actually said something that I agree with this week. This is the fun time of year. Remember last year we heard the Nicky Satan quote, and what was it, the Brady Hoke making fun of Ohio State?
Yep. We got to keep the power conferences in the news 365 days a year.
But this is a time of year where Nicky Satan comes out. So he's on the road doing their deal where they have this rah-rah, rally the fans, and gets out. Nick Saban believes that the whole bowl system needs to be taken apart and that they need to put together a national committee, much like they have in March Madness, that's where it's going in college football. Let's be honest. The NFL is number one in our sporting community. College football, in my opinion, is number two. College football is not in bad shape. There are some things that could put it in bad shape. Here's Nick Saban, though, thinking the qualifications for bowl eligibility should be reevaluated. Quote, I mean, who's to say having six wins and having a 6-6 season is what qualifies to go to a bowl game? if you play in a tough league and you play a tough schedule and you win a couple big games, RPI or whatever you want to call it, and even though you may lose to some very good teams, you should still have an opportunity to go to bowl games because your team may be better than another team who played a lesser schedule. If we do that, then more people would not be so concerned about the type of schedule they played and the number of wins that they got. So what Nick Saban is saying is, let's use a system similar to college basketball, where there's a committee that's put together, and the committee picks each bowl team. And they look at the RPI. It's the committee and the RPI. So it's a group of people in Indianapolis that come out and they say the Fiesta Bowl is going to have this team against this team. It's no longer the bowls are in control. Or even this bowl champ, the new bowl system out of Dallas, they wouldn't be in control.
Yeah, I can't see that ending well. Like, if you're at the Fiesta Bowl and your Fiesta Bowl matchup is Georgia Tech and Virginia, like, do they really want matchups like that?
Well, but no, the point on this, though, Eric, is if you take care of each region like they do in college basketball, if you make it from a regional standpoint.
Not always, though, but not always. That's for
in basketball.
But only for the elite teams. Not most teams in March Madness go.
Sure, ASU went
across,
to Milwaukee.
Of course.
ASU went to
the top seed, the top seeds.
But that's ASU's fault. That's ASU's fault.
Yes, but of the 68 teams that make March Madness, 62 of them have to travel across the country. The other six get the home cooking.
But
so to speak.
I think what Nick Saban is suggesting here is, let's not have the bowls dictate to us what we're going to do. Let's take control of the situation ourselves. There's no bowl games in college basketball, right? So let's clean up the bowl game system, because the bowl games have been, for the longest period of time, in some people's minds, just a cash cow. In my view, yeah, they're a cash cow, but I do see the inherent benefits for a kid to go to a bowl game. You know, it doesn't matter if it's ASU going to the San Francisco Bowl, the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl a couple of years ago. Those kids had a great time, and that's part of the experience of college. So I like a little bit of what Nick Saban is saying here, and he's rolling this out on his tour. On the other side, Lee Steinberg with us. We'll talk about the Donald Sterling case with Lee Steinberg, noted sports attorney. How can the NBA keep both Donald and Shelly Sterling away from keeping the team? Has the NBA had any missteps so far? How much damage did Donald Sterling do to himself on CNN the other night? Going after Magic Johnson. I'm also going to talk to him about Johnny Manziel and the Browns' approach to him and much more on the college football front. That's with Lee Steinberg next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, good partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. On Sports360AZ.com right now, Eric has a piece up. He sat down yesterday, a one-on-one with quarterback Kyle Allen, could be the replacement to Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. Kyle was just down there for spring football at A&M, going through his semester, leaving high school early. Kyle Allen scheduled to join us in studio here in a couple of minutes. Lee Steinberg will be joining us momentarily as well. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Let me tell you about my Santan Ford experience on a day-by-day basis just today. Took the Ford Fusion up through the 101, did some business on the way up, have some errands to run this afternoon, taking my wife around, doing some things that we do, and then at night it's running my son over to swim or running him out to wherever he needs to go. And I do so in the Ford Fusion. I fit in it. It's great for me to do business in. I get around the valley, a great gas mileage. It's comfortable and a good ride for me. The Ford Fusion, the 2014 model, makes a lot of sense for me. How about you? Are you driving a vehicle that you're in right now saying, hey, Sussmat, I am going nuts with this. I don't like it at all. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it right. When I mean do it right, you stop in and the experience at Santan Ford doesn't matter if it's in the service department with John Bernath or just getting that newer used vehicle. It could be the F-150 truck. This summer, you're looking at going up to Pine Top or maybe heading up to Lake Powell or out to the coast to the beach, and you need that truck to be in That is the F-150. It makes a lot of sense. I've used the F-150. I love it a lot. The Ford F-150, or maybe it's a new Fusion 2 for your summer travels. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, a big part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. Lee Steinberg here momentarily. The Diamondbacks yesterday lost again, this time to Washington 5-1. Aaron Hill hit a home run, and that was it. You know, the Diamondbacks, there's going to come a point. There was a national story last night put out by John Heyman on the Diamondbacks and how much longer Ken Kendrick is going to wait and what direction the organization is going to go. I bring this up today because, once again, last night, they just kind of looked lifeless and listless towards the middle part of the game. They were tied, and then as it got into the later portion, Brad Ziegler came out of the bullpen. He wasn't very good, allowed four runs, and it ends up blowing up on him. So they're an off day today. They have the Dodgers at the ballpark tomorrow night. And so far, the Dodgers have just owned the Diamondbacks, winning 7 of 8 against Arizona this season. It's not been pretty. It's not been pleasant. You know, when I watched Tanaka pitch, Tanaka and the Diamondbacks, maybe they should have overreached. Maybe they should have put more out there for him. Masahiro Tanaka has 66 strikeouts, 7 walks on the season. No pitcher has ever struck out more while walking fewer in his first 8 career games. So, you know, on one hand, the Diamondbacks will tell me, and they've said it on this show, yeah, we finished second to Tanaka. That's not good when you see how he's just gone out and completely dominated the situation. So they have the Dodgers at the big ballpark. That'll be tomorrow night, where LA has won 7 of 8 against the Diamondbacks this season. So that's coming into town tomorrow night. The struggles for the Diamondbacks continue. Turn our attention now to the business side of sports and some of the national items. Lee Steinberg joins us, noted sports attorney, the founder of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. 40 years repping athletes, brands, celebrities. I can call Lee a friend through the years. He joins us for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. How are you?
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm well. You look busy. I see you on Outside the Lines being profiled. I see you on CNN getting stepped on, run over by guests who don't want to let you get a word in edgewise on Donald and Shelley Sterling, and you look agitated. There's a look on your face. It's like, would you please shut up so I can just tell you what I want to say here? Am I making sense,
Lee? That was Gloria Allred.
Yeah.
Who's pretty famous. And what's so funny is on Donald Sterling or anything else, you bring in people who really have never read the NBA Constitution, don't understand the sports context, and they're pontificating. So I guess I need to be more patient.
No, you had the look of a bad meal. That's what you had the look of.
It was just so outrageous. But I guess that's what makes television. It's just you would like accurate information somehow to go out. But I ended up doing 10 CNN interviews just on the Sterling situation. I'm in Salt Lake City today speaking at a I Care for Kids fundraiser.
Well, and so let's get into I'll turn it around on you this way. What do you need to say to get across to people and hit him between the eyes on the Sterling case that you're not being asked, that is not being talked about on all these interviews that you're doing?
Essentially, the fact that a professional team is not a private business. In the same sense you would think of the corner drugstore in Scottsdale or Phoenix, it's a part of a league, and for an owner to buy in, he has to agree to a whole set of restrictions and rules that no other individual property owner ever has to do. And part of it is a whole standard of conduct. And he has to be approved by other owners to get the franchise in the first place. So when there is a violation of those things, so egregious, this issue with Sterling hit a third rail in America, and I've never seen the man in the street and the whole society have an opinion on it. And so it threatens the NBA because the issue of race is so toxic. So the key here is if they go ahead and revoke the franchise here, there's no lawsuit that makes any difference. There's no split ownership. The franchise immediately goes over to the NBA, and they then have the ability to go ahead and find a new owner, period.
Okay, some basic stuff then. How can the NBA keep both Donald and Shelly Sterling away from keeping the team? These are questions I'm being asked.
So, the point is this. Donald Sterling owns that team as the owner that was approved. He can stick the franchise into any financial structure that he wants to, but he is the owner. They don't approve corporations. They don't approve married couples. They approve individuals who they can vet and who they can discipline. So what Shelly Sterling is has a right to do is not very much. If the franchise gets transferred and the franchise is now sold, it's $1 billion, let's say, then that money goes to Donald Sterling. His wife has a claim if she files for divorce, but the only way she could block this move is by claiming somehow that her community asset under California law is being diminished in value.
Mm.
Not only is it not diminished, Donald Sterling bought the team for $12 million. And the new owners will have a great franchise and a real opportunity because the Lakers are down in Los Angeles and likely to stay down for some years. So it's their first real chance to jump into it. They can do a new TV contract like the Lakers have done and the Dodgers. And so she has a right to whatever percentage of community property that there is. So she gets money, not ownership.
Has the NBA had any missteps legally so far from your view with what under Adam Silver?
I think they're being very careful. Can you imagine being the commissioner, Brad, of the NBA, and you're in your job a couple months, and this cataclysmic event hits your desk?
Right.
No, I think he's been very decisive. Part of the reason that the players have calmed down here is because he moved in conjunction with the Players Association and with the help of Kevin Johnson, and he moved quickly and decisively. And so he's done a great job so far. I mean, you can't redo the fact these comments came out. And honestly, there's a whole lot of issues as to privacy,
right,
as to whether or not we're now in a society where we're regulating people's private thoughts. So that's a whole different set of issues we need to deal with when this is over. But that franchise is about to be taken from him, and no, they followed every legal step to the T.
Did Donald Sterling, this is one other one I've been given by a lot of fans, Lee Steinberg with us, with Brad Sussmat. Did Donald Sterling hurt himself any further with the CNN interview?
He did, because had he done that interview, and I've done years and years of crisis control with players, had he done that interview Saturday night when it first came out Sunday, and had it only been his apology and feeling that I'm sorry, I hurt the players, I hurt the franchise, those comments obviously don't reflect me, and it made an impact on the NBA that I'm sad about. Had he done that, then it might have played out a different way, but he didn't. I don't know what PR advice he's getting, because it certainly doesn't seem as if he's getting much of any. Because the truth is if he had just made that statement,
mm-hmm.
but it's a long, rambling interview, which just seems like it's spur-of-the-moment comments on everything and anything. The other thing is, you have to be kidding to pick a feud with Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson may be the most popular person in Southern California. He was popular as a player, and since he retired, he's been the consummate businessman and community leader. And you can go into the inner city and see whether it's Magic Johnson Theaters or Starbucks or a whole series of businesses that he's brought back there. So to then talk about what has he done for black people, well, he re-energized the inner city. I guess that's about enough.
Right.
And he's been a great citizen and community leader. So, no, that did not help him. It hurt him.
Before I let you go, and we're talking with Lee Steinberg, I am curious your view of Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns stance of we're going to treat you like a second-round pick. We're going to restrict media from having access. Just the whole Manziel and Michael Sam and the changing of the NFL, two huge stories. I have about a minute and a half for you on both thoughts.
Okay, so Michael Sam is a great advertisement for how the NFL has gracefully handled this change and tolerance and the rest of it. They've made great statements. He's tried to be a football player. He's got to be a football player, and then he can help his movement. On Johnny Manziel, he's got to be very careful that he impresses his teammates, the coaches, the ownership, with the fact that football is first, because he won't be very popular coming in with zillions of dollars of endorsements on every billboard and then try to integrate into the team that he's ultimately got to be a leader for. So I think they're doing the right thing, and he ought to think it's the right thing. I've always been very hesitant to do a lot of marketing for, you know, a Steve Young, a Ben Roethlisberger, a Troy Aikman, a Drew Bledsoe early in their careers until they've shown something on the field.
Sure.
They need to let their playing do the speaking for them. And there'll be endless time for him to capitalize on millions in endorsements.
As always, I appreciate your time and your insights, Lee. Stay well. Talk down the road.
My pleasure, Brad.
There's Lee Steinberg with us. Always good to catch up with Lee Steinberg, noted sports attorney, founder of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. 40 years repping athletes, brands, celebrities. Always good to catch up with Lee Steinberg. On the other side in studio, Kyle Allen, former Desert Mountain High School quarterback, now at Texas A&M. Battling to become the starting quarterback, following in the footsteps of Johnny Manziel. I'm sure he's sick of hearing that, but that's the facts. That comes up next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, good to be part of the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio, good to be across the great state of Arizona. And on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, we join you Monday through Friday. Plenty of content on our website, 24/7, sports360AZ.com. Here's somebody that we've been focusing on sports360AZ.com for the better part of the last couple of years. Kyle Allen, quarterback, Desert Mountain High School back in the day, now in studio because he is no longer on the high school front, although you are walking at Desert Mountain. Next week you graduate.
Yes.
So, and I appreciate you coming down.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Here's the thing. So you leave Desert Mountain. You were the number one rated quarterback in the nation. You go down there and you are in a quarterback battle. Johnny Manziel leaves Texas A&M. I've asked you this question before. Now I'm going to phrase it a different way because I just think it's appropriate to do so. Is it bigger than what you thought going down to Texas A&M, being in the running to be the guy to replace Johnny Manziel? Is it bigger than what you thought?
It isn't. I knew what I was coming into right when I got there. I knew Johnny had built up one of the best programs in America on just on national TV presence. Everyone is looking at Texas A&M at all times, and I knew that coming in. And being in there and being with the guys and being with the coaches and stuff, I knew exactly what I was coming into. And so when I got there, I was ready for everything that was thrown at me. I was ready for all the spotlight and all that stuff, and I was ready for just the national attention that Johnny had built and brought to the program. So I knew exactly what I was coming
there
into.
There was no moments of wow.
I think the only moment of wow was probably the first day of spring ball, when the Sports Center had three trucks outside of our indoor facility waiting to just watch our first day of spring ball, cameras everywhere. I'm just like, this is just spring ball. It's not even the season yet. But I knew I was going to come into something like that just with the program that was built there before me. And so that's one of the reasons I came there, just because so much national spotlight is put on them.
How were you prepared for all this? Who helped you prepare for all this?
I'm saying probably the two people mostly would be my parents. My mom and my dad kept me real humble throughout all this stuff. I mean, I've been taught to be a real humble child throughout that. And honestly, my my quarterback coach, Dennis Kyle, he's worked with people like Brett Hundley. He's worked with people like Connor Brewer. And he really taught me how to handle all this stuff because he knew from day one that he said, I'm going to make you into one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. And so he told me from day one that you need to be humble through this stuff and you really need to know yourself going through all this. And he taught me all that. And honestly, a lot of what I know is from him.
Kyle Allen joining Brad Sussmad in studio, talking about moving from Desert Mountain High School over to Texas A&M. At Desert Mountain High School, do you still have people that slap you upside the head that are your buds, flip your hat and say, you're just Kyle Allen. You're not all that.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I've had these friends at Desert Mountain, some of them since I've been in kindergarten, you know, with Mark Andrews. You know, I've been friends with him since I've been in kindergarten. You know, I've had some of my friends since I've been in fifth, sixth grade who they know the real me. They know that all this football stuff doesn't mean anything. It's just I'm my own person. Football is just another side of me that I do. But in the real world, I'm just my own person. I'm my own friend. I got tons of people.
It's not who you are.
No, it's not.
Something you do.
Exactly.
If it ended today, what would you do? You get hit from the blind side on your knee. Have you had that? I think every player, when they leave high school, goes to college, the invincibility starts to go away just a little bit. Have you thought about, okay, what is it I want to do if this all ended today? What is it I want to do on top of this?
Exactly. And I've thought about that a lot through college and talking to people and creating relationships with different people outside of the football world. And I've met a lot of great people at Texas A&M. It's a very, very, very smart school. A lot of great people who are very interested in different things. And so really I've been kind of caught on with this a guy from the business school there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was my teacher for my management class. And he is just a really, really smart guy. He works with Halliburton and all those different industries like that. And he's just an awesome dude. And I've really kind of caught on with him and talked to him. And he's really interested me in the business world.
You're 18?
Yeah.
When do you turn 19?
Next March.
So you got some time to go.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you're still, are you football 24/7 or are you still an 18-year-old?
And when I'm out there, it's a lot of football 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm out there, it's school, or wake up in the morning, football from about 5:45 to 8, school throughout the day, football at night, and school at night again. I mean, it's a grind when you're out there, and there's no doubt. But on the weekends, I don't think about football at all. When I'm back here, I'm working out a lot. I'm trying to perfect my craft and stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm trying to take a little break, see my friends, see my family, go do other stuff, and just not think about football 24/7 because that's not healthy. But
have you had somebody who's had to sit you down and say, "Look, you got to decompress"? Have that inner circle?
I mean, I have that inner circle, but throughout all of football, I've never had that point where I just have done too much. Mm-hmm. I've always been able to balance it pretty well, and I know some people that do too much, and it's almost their parents more than them that want them to do so much. Their parents are thinking they want their kid to be that guy, they want their kid to be the best guy, so they're out there doing this and this and this on Sundays and Saturdays and no break. And my parents have seen that, and they don't want that to be me. They want me to be a family man. They want me to have friends and have fun, but also they want me to work hard, which I do. But they want me to have a good balance in my life.
Texas A&M quarterback Kyle Allen, Valley resident, Valley High School star at Desert Mountain, in studio with Brad Sussmad for a couple of minutes. How much weight have you gained?
About 12 pounds since I've been out there, around 212 right now. So I put on a lot of muscle weight.
It looks like it.
Yeah, that's what everyone said right when I came back, visited my spring practice.
Do we have any of that scrawny Kyle Allen video somewhere? Like the, you know, I don't know if we can roll it in now, but do we have any of the scrawny stuff from like when we first started doing stories on him?
It's kind of buried away in the archives.
Is it buried away?
Yeah.
That's always fun when like their jersey's just kind of falling off of them because they have no muscles at all whatsoever. You know, we'll have to pull some of that up the next time he's in studio. Like, I don't know, 3 years from now when you're like, where do you want to be at when you 2-3 years, 240, 230?
No, I don't know. I mean, whatever happens. I don't have like a set weight. It's just whatever my body fills into, whatever the weight I become that I can play comfortable in is what I'm going to play at. It could be 220, it could be 240, depending on what I do.
They have you on a diet?
Yeah, they got a diet plan. They just give you they write up a diet plan for you. You eat at the nutrition center and you just go and pick through your stuff.
What are like the things? Because the average fan that's watching this right now doesn't know what a college football player, a college athlete, I should say, has at their disposal. I'll talk to a guy from Oregon. He'll say, well, we have our own barbershop. I talked to a guy that was recruited by a lot of schools, and he said, well, what sold me on Oregon was they had air freshener that came out of each one of the lockers. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing ever. That's what sold you on going to Oregon, was their air freshener? But he said that. What are some of the facilities that you have to help you along at Texas A&M? They're pretty cool if you think about it.
Well, you think of Oregon, and they have over-the-top stuff. That's one of that's one of the schools that has more than I think anyone else in the country can even imagine.
Or need,
exactly. But I think one of the coolest things that we have is our academic center, which most people wouldn't be like, oh, that's a cool academic center. But really, when in recruiting, I was like, oh, it's going to be a hassle to be in study hall all the time and doing that stuff. But being in study hall and having those people at your disposal has helped me so much through my classes, because you're football nonstop all day. You're trying to win that starting job. You're trying to be an SEC champion. You're thinking about football. You're doing all that other stuff. But most people don't know you have to take 12 credit hours to even be eligible. And so I'm taking 12 credit hours, and I'm working my butt off in football. And so these people, having all these people in the academic center at your disposal, it's so useful. And I'm in there 8 hours a week just working on homework and stuff like that, because I need their help, and they know that because we work so hard, and there's probably 100 people in there working with all different athletes and stuff like that. And I think my grades would have been a lot lower than they are now.
What was your class load like this first semester?
12 hours, just kind of basic classes, because I haven't really picked a major yet. I'm trying to get into business school, like I said. But
sure.
Just had 12 hours of just core classes and stuff like that.
Nothing interesting?
Some interesting classes. I had my management class with that business teacher I told you about.
Yeah.
And a design process class, which was kind of just like a theatrical art class that I had to take. And then
acting?
No, it wasn't. It's kind of hard to explain. It's like creative class.
Creative?
Yeah, but
it opened your mind up to things.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. And then I had public speaking class.
You're good at that.
Yeah. I'm trying to get
better. You should have aced that.
Yeah.
You better be good at that.
And then
I don't like microphones in my face. You're in the wrong position.
Exactly. And then I think my last class was just a history class. So just basic stuff.
Yeah. What is the deal with you in skydiving? So I go on Twitter and I see this avatar, and it's not a quarterback. It's not a desert mountain picture. It's you skydiving. What is the story with skydiving?
Well, I've always wanted to do it my whole life. And you can't do it till you're 18. And so I was talking to my dad about it one day when I was out there, and it was coming up on spring break. I was going to come home. My birthday was that first Saturday of spring break when I turned 18. I was like, Dad, come on, we got to go skydiving. And he just kept putting off, and he was like, no, we can't do that. And then finally one day he just emailed me, and it was the ticket of two people booked to go skydiving, and one of the things I've always wanted to do in my life. And I posted about it on Twitter, actually, and a lot of the fans from A&M got nervous.
Yeah, they weren't happy.
Yeah, they were like, don't die on me or don't get injured out there. But like I said, football is just something I do.
Sure.
Skydiving is something I've wanted to do my entire life, and when I went, it was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life.
Eloy? Is that where you went?
South of Phoenix,
or do you even know?
I think it was Eloy.
Is Eloy? That's where they usually go.
Yeah.
So it's just you and your dad?
Yeah.
And, do you have much training, or?
No, you just go out there.
You just go out there?
Yeah. Actually, Luke Rubenzer went with us, too.
Luke went, too?
Yeah.
And it's just, okay, jump.
Well, you're strapped on with someone
else. No, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
But they basically say, tip your head back and let me do the rest.
Were you screaming like a little girl?
Yeah, I was.
Ah!
You're flying at like 200 miles an hour out of a plane. Of course I was.
You were screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
You were scared?
A little bit.
Yeah.
In the plane, I was. In the plane going up, we went up to about 6,000 feet. About 4 or 5 people jumped out, and that's when I knew it was real. They just lifted up the side of the airplane and then jumped out, put it back down. I was like, That's insane.
That's it.
And then we went up to 13,000 feet, actually, with all of us. And then I was the first one to go out. So my dude was just like, my dude didn't say a word to me the whole time. He was like,
that's not
good. Just throw your head back and I got you. And I was like, I was scared. He's playing some skydiving app on his phone on the way up. Yeah. And so I was looking over. I was like, this dude's insane. But we just jumped out right
I'm going to grab onto you and you're going to hold me, but yet you're playing you're playing Candy Crush before we jump out of the plane or something.
Yeah. He did not make me feel too good before we went. But right when we jumped out, it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had.
Did Coach Sumlin talk to you thereafter?
No. Because
not a word.
Mm-mm. Well, Coach Spavital, my OC, he went skydiving 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was one of the ones that was telling me to go skydiving. He was like, if you ever get the chance to, you got to go. It's one of the coolest things ever. And he was like, just keep it quiet. Just go. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're sitting here across from me and it all went well.
Oh, so. Yeah. It went fine.
good luck to you. And, you know, I've had you on before, want to have you on in the future, and I am really excited to see how things work out for you at Texas A&M.
I didn't ask you,
and I'm not going to ask you. I'm just going to throw it out there about, do you think you'll be the starter? We'll find out in late August.
Exactly.
I think that's the right way to respond mm-hmm. to it. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
You got it. There's Kyle Allen, quarterback, Texas A&M, former Desert Mountain High School star QB. He is going to walk at graduation. Is it next Thursday?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday he's going to walk. He's going to walk with his classmates, which is very cool, back here in the Valley. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. Good to be part of the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, @BradSusmat.